right, y'all. Get ready for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to News and Trends with Dave and Lynn. I am Leonard Young, CEO of National Black Guy, Black media expert, all around good guy. I got my partner here, Mr. Dave Coker.
Hey, how you guys doing? This is Dave Coker with Dave Mark Inc., proprietor, promoter, and also all around good guy. Number two. I'll be number two today. But I just want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to us today. Shout out to DJ Tim Dog. Make sure you guys tune into his new show. His new show, Night Moods, on Monday nights at 7 o'clock on JVS Internet Radio, JVS.com. Make sure you check him out. He's a big supporter of ours. We want to make sure that everybody supports him that listens to us as well. So.
Yep. And you know, Dave, we probably just need to stop talking about. We need to just set a date and schedule him to come on, just so we have it in the books.
Well, yeah, I've been talking to him. I think we're working on that now. Yeah, he's been anxious to come in and co-host with us. He loves the show. He listens all the time. And so we definitely want to bring him in to co-host. And you're going to hear a lot of people coming in to co-host with us. So just stay tuned. Hopefully we'll be bringing in some of the people that you guys like to listen to.
Yep. For everyone out there, happy Friday. I know you're probably ready for the weekend. I know I definitely am. Dave, you got any plans for the weekend?
No, I just want to enjoy this good weather that we've been having. You know, Thursday was, in the 60s. Today, supposed to be, I think they said it was reaching 60 today. You know, I know last Saturday it was 60 degrees and then we had snow the next day. I mean, it was just crazy.
That was crazy, wasn't that weird?
Yeah, that was. I was like, wait, hold on, it was just 60 degrees Saturday. What happened?
Yeah, I was in the window and I saw snow on the ground. I'm like, hold up, like, wasn't it? I had a t-shirt on yesterday. How did this happen?
Can you say global warming? Right. Yeah, it's just a weird, we're just in a weird day and time these days. We got birds falling from the air, we got all kinds of craziness going on. But it's the weekend, so let's do what we do on the weekends, guys.
Okay, let's do what we do. All right, so definitely we want to welcome everyone for tuning in with us this week or this Friday. So today what we're going to be talking about, of course, we are still in the thick of Black History Month. And one of the things we want to do is just, of course, everyone knows the Friday show where Dave and I reflect on, different topics and different themes. So this Friday, today, we're just going to be reflecting on, some of our most inspirational Black history moments, basically meaning some of the stories we've heard, seen, or witnessed, the ones that kind of stick with us the most, maybe that have directed us going through the future the most, but just the ones that kind of mean the most to us. So of course I'm going to let as you say number two, I'm going to let number two be number one for this one. So Dave, I'm going to let you start off and you can let me know about a moment that has been meaningful to you.
Well, I'm going to go in reverse order with mine. So I'm going to start with my number four, and if we go by numbers, moment. that was Henry Aaron breaking the home run record that belonged to Babe Ruth. When Henry Aaron, back on April 16th, 1974. I'm trying to remember. 1974, I was 14 years old. I remember watching the home run race at the time. And it was really fascinating. And the reason I'm even talking about that, because what was more fascinating about the fact that he was about to the hit number 714, which was unheard of at the time by a black man, was the fact of what was going on behind the scenes while this guy was chasing history. He was getting death threats. He was told, you know, that he was called the N-word and was threatened to not, you know, don't even think about hitting, breaking Babe Ruth's record. It was just a bad time for him. If you ever got a chance to hear Henry Aaron talk about that particular time, you know, he sounds a little bitter about it. Well, of course, we lost Henry Aaron a little over a year ago. But he was a little bitter about the whole situation because it affected his family. People were, you know, he was getting death threats. He played in Atlanta at the time, of course, down in the South. And people did not want to see that record be broken. And he ended up breaking the record. And even when he was rounding the bases, going to home plate, there was a white guy that ran out on the field and was grabbing on him, trying to, well, it looked like he was congratulating him. But they had to, he had to push him off of him as he was making his run around the bases. What was supposed to be a very joyous moment and would have been if he was a white player, turned out to be, you know, that whole year turned out to be a year of hardship for him, because the closer he got, the more troubling things were for him. But when he finally broke it, you know, of course, everybody was happy for him and whatever. And Henry Aaron had a great career. A lot of people don't even know how great of a ball player he was. But I just remember sitting there watching it as a young kid and just being fascinated about watching what he was doing and knowing the significance of it at that particular time.
Okay, understood.
So that would be my moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, so mine, in no particular order. So my first one, and it's not really a moment, but it's more of a time of reflection. And I'm going to say the Black National Anthem, or the Negro Anthem, as different people call it. And, you know, so the reason why I say this, and I feel like the people who can relate, and people who can't. But if you really listen to the words of the song, and I remember this, I forget where I was. I feel like, and I don't know why, I feel like I was at World Cafe Live. And I don't know what the event was. And they were playing the Black National Anthem. And they had a almost like a video slideshow that was, you know, just showing moments in African-American history that were not so pleasant. And, you know, like I started crying, not crying, but like tears were coming to my eyes. And ever since, like whenever I hear the Black National Anthem, like it just makes me feel a certain way. And, you know, I just kind of never forget that feeling. And you know how they always talk about, you know, there's certain smells that can make you remember like a certain time or, you know, something like that. Anytime I hear the Black National Anthem, I always think about this, that slideshow in unison where, you know, it was really depicting the struggle that we faced just to be treated equally. So that's probably one of my, you know, Black history moments. And personally, like, I love that song. Like, I love the song, you know, the Black National Anthem. I don't know all the words to it, but, you know, I definitely know that first verse. And, you know, I just think that song is just deep. And, you know, that's why I say, like, if people get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. But, you know, if you can relate to the struggle that we faced and you hear that song, like, it just does something to me every time.
Do you remember the first time you ever heard it?
Not particularly. I mean, I know I probably heard it in middle school. I don't remember the first time. And I say that in terms of I probably did not appreciate it the first time I heard it.
Okay. I know it was something that we have to learn in elementary school. Mm. And And I went to a black elementary school, so it was definitely something we had to learn. And I think I might have learned that song maybe in second or third grade. At one time I knew all the words to the song, all three verses, right? You know, but yes, I get it. I get what you're saying. It is a wonderful song and it was well written and the words resonate as you sing them. Yeah, definitely. So I agree with you when it comes to that. Yes, definitely. All right. Okay. And ironically, my next thing has to do with a song too.
Okay.
Not that one.
Okay.
But it does have to do with the national anthem. And what does the national anthem have to do with black people, right? I know, right?
Break it down, Dave. Right? Break it down.
Yeah, I know. Let me break it down for you. Okay, this is what happened. See, what had happened was back in 1983, there was an NBA All-Star game played in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And before the game started, a young man came out to sing the national anthem, which happens at all All-Star games. This All-Star game was full of great stars, Larry Bird, Dr. J, you know, of course it was in Philadelphia, Moses Malone. But this person that came out to sing was none other than Mr. Marvin Gaye. Marvin, if you know anything about him, didn't do anything like most people. He was just smooth. Marvin was the coolest guy on earth at the time. You know, Marvin comes out and does this version of the national anthem, a jazzed up version of it. And you can see everybody's face at this All-Star game, everybody was like, what in the world is he doing? Because he took that song, and you know how the song goes, and changed it into his version of the song. And when Marvin sang that song with that jazzed up tempo and melody to it, you can see the black NBA, because at the time, there was a lot of white NBA All-Stars at the time. But the black NBA All-Stars had these little grins on their faces like, go ahead, Marvin. You know, like that, right? Because Marvin changed the whole song up. And Dr. J had a grin on his face. I'm telling you, if you ever get a chance, go back and look at it, Leonard, and you'll see what I'm talking about. But, you got it on now? Okay, listen to it. What's so proudly we hear the beat?
At the twilight. Yeah, it's definitely, I've never heard this verse.
He tore this song up. Listen to it, you hear the You ever hear people singing like that for the national anthem?
No.
And watch, they're going to flash to the All-Star. That's Magic Johnson right there, right? No, that's Keith Wilkes. Okay.
Yeah.
See the shade he got on?
Uh-huh. Yeah, definitely a smooth character.
Telling you, that game, and you, when you get a chance, just listen to the whole thing. Just watch everybody's reaction to it. when he got finished singing that song, man, I'm surprised you didn't see panties coming out to the floor, you know, all that stuff. But, of course, you know, there was some blowback because, you know, there were some people that was like, why did he do that to that song? You know, the white people,
yeah,
of course, you
of
know.
Course.
But, of course, we loved it. We loved it. So I'll never forget that moment because I was sitting there. Matter of fact, I remember talking to my pastor about it. And he was like, because he and I have been friends forever. And he was like, did you see that? I said, yeah, I did. And I said, wasn't that awesome? And he was like, man, I never seen anybody do that before. But just the fact that he was bold enough to do what he did.
Yeah.
Because nobody, you wouldn't even, just listening to the beat, you wouldn't have known that was a national anthem.
No, not at all. And it's funny because even after I Googled it and brought it up, I was like, okay, like this is a different rendition right here.
Yeah, did you happen to notice how many views it probably had at that time? Probably the people, because people still talk about it. That's why. And then his daughter, Nona Gay, years later, she re-recorded the song as a duet with her father. So she did a duet with him after he passed away during that song.
Wow.
So that's out there too. If you ever Google that, that's out there too. So,
okay.
So, but that was just watching that. That was a big moment watching that. I'll never forget that. So, but go ahead. That was one of my moments.
Gotcha. So, one of my other moments is, and you know, I talked about this on a prior show too. When I was in Birmingham and they had the Civil Rights Museum. And, you know, that was another time when, like, it just hit me, and it hit me hard because, so for all our listeners out there, basically what I'm talking about is in Birmingham, they have a Civil Rights Museum. I went there maybe a couple months ago. And one of the main things that the museum highlights is the 16th Street Baptist Church, I believe I'm saying correctly, which is across the street, in which was bombed. The result of that bombing was that four young girls, they were probably all between like 6 and 11, were killed. And, you know, it's just such a crazy feeling reading about certain parts of Black history and then being where, you know, those things happen. The museum did a great job of giving you that feeling as if it just happened. You know, of course they had, you know, all the news clippings of the bombing. They replayed kind of like the TV, you know, coverage of the bombing at that time. And it was just so eerie that then you can look across the street, you see the church, you know, they had the profiles of all the, you know, the young Black ladies who were killed. And I mean, it just really hit home. I was not expecting that. So, you know, that's something that I always think of too, where, you know, even just to recap everything I just said, you know, there were times that people were trying to kill us just for being Black. And, you know, granted, unfortunately, Dave, like we all know in today's world, like not too much has changed. But, you know, when we just think of the essence of it, like people are trying to kill us for our skin color. They do not know us. You know, they have not met us, you know, just because of the color of our skin that they're trying to kill us. So, you know, when I think of the whole, you know, the church bombing, I always just think of, you know, these are people who are innocent, you know, who should not have died. And, you know, all the bombings were unnecessary. But unfortunately, you know, we still deal with that today as well.
You're right. And it's definitely a part of history that we should never forget. You know, I'm glad to hear that they have something like that down there in Alabama. And that it is, you know, that everyone should go and check that out. I don't care what color you are. You should go check that out. And so that you can remember. Some things are worth remembering. Maybe if our memories wasn't so short, we wouldn't still have this going on today.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, you know, but that's very noteworthy to bring that up. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
my next one happened back in 2009 when a certain man was named president of the United States, Mr. Barack Obama. He became our 44th president. And now I'm an older person. I'm older than Leonard. And not something that I ever thought I would see in my lifetime, to be honest with you. I know people cried that day that we, when the election results were made final. And, well, really in 2008 that happened. So when you think about it, not only did he come in with style and grace, he was intelligent, but he had a person at his side who was just as intelligent, had just as much style and grace and class, and they represented in the White House.
They did.
Now, you may not agree with all his politics. Of course, they tried to poke fun and poke holes into everything that he did. They try to belittle the things that he did, but he managed to get two terms, and he managed to do a lot for the American people. And I must say that, you know, to have someone like that to represent us, they picked the right person. There were other people they were grooming. We talked about Shirley Chisholm last week at this time on our roundup show. She got the nomination to run for president. Unfortunately, she didn't become president, but she went long into the race, deep into the race to become the president of the United States. But we finally got somebody who actually did it. We had Jesse Jackson, who also ran. But this guy actually was able to break through the barriers and represent. He did. And even to this day, he's still representing. You know, he was a fascinating person as president, a fascinating man. And even to this day, you know, he was the right person at the right time. So I have to say, watching him take that oath as president of the United States was a great moment.
Yeah, you twice. Know, I...
Twice.
Twice, yeah. Yep, about to say, well, wish it could have been three, four times, but I guess it is.
Oh, yeah, we wish he didn't have to relinquish it, but I'm glad, I know he's glad that he gave it up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Well, you know, I always love the picture where it showed when he entered the White House and his hair more jet blackish.
Yeah.
And then when he left the White House, it was salt and pepperish.
Yeah. He definitely aged in his job.
Yeah, oh, no, he did.
Yeah, he did.
And it's like they say black don't crack, but the White House may have started to crack his black skin because they put the age.
But think about it though, she didn't age that much though.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. See, matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. As the time went on, I think Michelle got finer.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely did. But yeah, you know, I would like to agree with you on that. You know, I think Barack Obama brought a lot of pride, a lot of respect, a lot of dignity to his position as president of the United States. And, you know, like, so I think it was cool. And I'll tell you, it's funny, not for me, not for my kids, but I thought it was cool for the older generation. Because, you know, one of the things that I feel like they always hear or we always heard growing up is, you know, a lot of them thought they would never see a black president in their lifetime. You know, so like, you know, how do you go through segregation, civil rights, bombings, floodings, you know, killings because of the color of your skin? And then finally, there's a day when a black man is the leader of the most powerful country in the nation, You know, so like I can say during the inauguration, the thing that made me tear up was seeing all these, you know, people of an older age who were like just in disbelief, you know, crying. Like that probably Leonard, affected. Leonard,
let me tell you, there's a lady that I read about who her and two of her sisters traveled to D.C. to because they had to see for themselves whether he was real or right. not. Now, keep in mind,
I believe it.
She was in her 70s at the time. Her middle sister was 80, and the oldest sister was 87. They traveled to D.C. from Virginia or North Carolina, somewhere down there. They went to the White House. They actually didn't have any plan or anything. They just knew that they had to see the president.
Right.
They somehow got word to one of the press secretaries who told them that they were there to see him. Mm-hmm. And that they were very honest. They said they had to see if he was real.
I believe.
And they were old. They were old time, you know, Southern people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when he got wind of what was going on, he stopped what he was doing and came and met with the ladies, had lunch and everything with them.
Wow.
And they just. And they said that, you know, this woman just talked about how he treated them and how he took pictures with them and he gave them gifts to take with them and everything. And both the older one, the oldest of the sisters died like a month later.
Wow.
But she had in her casket the gifts that he gave. Yeah. She had in her casket the gifts that he gave her. One was a T-shirt that had believe on it, and she had that in her casket, you know. So, right.
And you know, like, I just want to say one thing, and I've never heard anyone talk bad about Barack Obama, and I just say in terms of, you know, he just seems like a good guy, you know, like, you know, almost one of the people like you wish you could be friends with. He just happened to be president, but you know, he's your friend too. So
yeah.
You know,
he didn't have a problem with poking fun at himself. He had a good sense of humor. Like he was on Jimmy Fallon a couple of times. Watched Jimmy Fallon a lot. And he did you ever see when he slow jammed the news? Have you ever seen that?
No, I didn't. I
looked that up one time on Jimmy Fallon. It is hysterical. You got to see this, where he actually is saying talking about the news. This is just before he left office, and it's called Barack Obama Slow Jams the News. Look it up when you get a chance.
Okay.
And you'll enjoy it, and it's hysterical. But just the fact that he would ever actually do this said a lot about it. And Michelle was the same way, because Michelle will get out there. You know, you ever see her do the carpool karaoke?
Yep, karaoke. With Jen. Yep.
Yeah, she knew all the words to the songs. Did you notice that?
Yep, yep. Because that was Missy's song, right? Work it.
Yeah, yep, that's right. Yeah, she and Missy got in the car with her and they were doing it together, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, so and just the fact that they opened up the office to everybody. Of course, he was hanging out with Jay-Z and Beyonce and, you know, all these people, you know, that were coming to visit him, not just Black, but all people were coming there to visit them.
Yeah, he definitely had a good personality.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why that moment was so important to me, because he changed the game. He really did. So.
Gotcha. Okay. So moving on, my next person needs no introduction.
I have a dream that one day.
So, I mean, we can't hear that much, but, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, kind of like Cedric the Entertainer, like the King. But, you know, this speech right here, and, you know, I know it wasn't really just for Black people, more for all people, but, you know, I think, to be honest, I think this is one of the most powerful speeches, you know, anyone has ever delivered in any atmosphere, anywhere. And I remember after I graduated college and I came, you know, came back to Delaware looking for a job, whatever. I forget what I was doing. I don't know if I was Toastmasters or something. But I remember I recorded this audio or panel recording. And I play this every single day. Not the whole thing, but, you know, like kind of like the main part we all know. And I would try to, you know, speak like him. And it was difficult. But, you know, I just love this speech. I think it's very motivational. And even if we take a look at the video, if anyone out there gets a chance to, you know, actually look at one of the videos of this speech, I want to say millions of people. I'm sure there were hundreds of thousands of people out there listening to that speech. And just to, you know, captivate that audience is just amazing. So this is definitely, when I think of Black history, I think about, you know, I Have a Dream speech, August 28, 1963 at the National Mall, you know, so that is my next Black history moment.
That's a good pick, man. That's a good look. I'm going to take it even to another level with what you said about being one of the greatest speeches. I think it was the greatest speech. Name one that was better.
I can't.
You can't. Can you?
I cannot.
This speech was made back in 1963. There's never been a speech that's been more powerful than this speech.
Right.
Never. You know, and we've had some great speakers, and of course, number 44, President Obama. Look, we were glued to the TV every time that man spoke. Matter of fact, he's probably the closest that we can think of that came to being the same type of speaker that Martin was.
Right.
If you think about it. Yeah, because he had President Obama had you glued to. You know, I kept watching Obama to see if he's going to make a mistake. You know, that's what I was watching for, you know.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, but he talked about how Martin Luther King was like a big influence on him as well. So yes, that was definitely a good look there. And ironically, you brought that speech up. My next moment also has to do with Martin Luther King. So we were right on the same wavelength and thinking about him. But unfortunately, my moment has to deal with his death. April 4th, 1968. We lost that same man that gave possibly the greatest speech ever given. I was 8 years old. I remember hearing the news, and it was a sad day. It really was. Unfortunately, a lot of people didn't take it well, as you can imagine. I remember they had to get the National Guards out to patrol the streets. We had curfews. Couldn't be out at after 6 o'clock at night, or you'd be arrested or even possibly shot.
Was that Delaware too? There was a curfew Delaware?
I'm talking about Delaware. They had military police riding in Jeeps all over Wilmington. And because people were upset. People were tearing up things. It was not a good time because we just didn't understand why a guy who didn't hurt anybody would be shot like that. All he wanted to do was just bring people together. When you looked at it, you talked about that speech. When you look at the audience, it wasn't just Black people there. When you look at the people that were standing behind him, it wasn't just Black people behind him. There was all types of people behind him. Okay. So for that to happen on that day was, you know, for an 8-year-old kid, for anybody, was a very devastating day. So that would be the moment that I will always, always remember as being one of the most poignant and memorable moments of my life. The day that MLK was taken from us and the world. So.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. It was a moment. I was not around in person because I'm much, much, much younger. But, I do remember in school. I spoke about this before. My social studies teacher was white because I just don't remember him being black. I don't even remember what his name is. But, I feel like he did a great job civil rights, because when we learned about Martin Luther King, we kind of learned about everything in a timeline. And, it'd be different if we just learned about him dying, saw the video, we can't relate to it. But we saw part of his upbringing. We saw his... him being active in the civil rights movement, which really can make you form a connection. And I say all that to say, when we got to, the video footage of his passing, even though it had been, years in the past, it felt current. So, I can't feel it like you feel it, Dave, because, you kind of lived it more than I did. But, just watching it on video form, it was definitely touching. He was admired by so many, and I'm sure many of people considered him, and I just say, the hope of Black people. He was, the leader of that African-American movement that, wanted justice, equality, and, to be treated fairly based on, the content of your character, not the color of your skin. So. I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, it was definitely a time. And if you ever look at any, it's funny, there's a lot of movies that have to do with civil rights and so forth. They always mention Martin Luther King's assassination. If you ever pay attention to a lot of those movies that have time periods and time pieces, you always hear they just shot Dr. King.
Right.
You ever notice that? And just look at everybody's reaction. And I don't care who's on screen. It might be white people on the screen. It might be Black people on the screen at the time. But they all react the same way. He was a very important figure because of what he stood for. And yes, that was really something. And it is something. And especially as a young child. I know you said you were not born yet, but I know as a young child, it was something that was, just burnt into us at that time. And we knew we would never forget it. So, yeah.
Right. Okay. And so I have the last one, right?
Yep.
I think you're okay.
It's on you.
Yep. So, my fourth memorable moment is from the 1968 Olympics, sometimes considered the Black Power Salute. So a lot of people may recognize the image of two Black men on an Olympic podium, one Australian. They have their right fist in the air with a black glove on and their head down. And, I just feel like that timing was so, iconic, just because, a lot of America's struggle was, with America. This one right here was on the world's platform. And, these people were really protesting the system. And at least the one guy, so the two athletes were Tommy Smith and John Carlos. And I can't remember which one was which, but the one came home and he was literally blackballed. I remember it said, everybody just literally blackballed him. Even his family, they said his wife left them. But, these were just two people kind of standing up for a cause. And, I think a lot of times, you know, we just have to give credit to people who stand up for causes that are bigger than them, not even realizing what the repercussions may be. So, you know, anytime I see this, and kind of like Dave, we were talking about these moments. I was like, you know what? I need to get some of these moments in like in poster form and put them up, because, you know, these are things that I always want to remember and I always want to feel, because, and, you know, we talked about before with just our families, but, you know, when I think of Black History Month, I think these are times when we should be able to reflect on the past and determine what improvements we need to make for ourselves in our community and, you know, kind of move forward. So like when I see this, this just makes me have pride in being Black. And it just kind of lets us know that, or lets me personally know that, you know, I'm on a mission that's greater than what I think it is. And, you know, just not to quit. So I'm just going to end my part right there before I ramble on too much.
Well, you know, you also got to keep in mind that happened after the King assassination.
Because both of them were 68, right?
Yeah. That happened after the King. The Olympics was following the King assassination. Okay.
So, I mean, and that right there makes it even more powerful.
It was a lot of unrest in the world at that time, both especially here in the States. And so that's why a lot of that happened. And then, you know, their records were, you know, they were stricken from the record book and everything. I think they just recently got reinstated. Their medals and everything were recently reinstated in the last few years, if I'm not mistaken. You know, but they were stricken from the record books and everything. And, you know, they were ostracized as well. That was a crazy year. There was a lot going on at that time. Right. The Black Panthers were also very prominent at that particular point. And of course they were doing their stuff. They were doing what they did at that particular time because of all that was going on in the world at that time, especially in the United States. So, that's a very poignant moment. And yes, that picture. Now I'm trying to remember who took that picture, and I almost want to say it might have been Gordon Parks.
It says that it was John Dominus.
Oh, okay. That's the Olympic picture. Yeah. But it seemed like it ended up in Life magazine. I think Gordon Parks did a story about that.
Oh, okay. Possibly.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that happened. So, yes. And of course, that's a famous picture, you know, a very famous picture. So, you know, great. Yeah. I think all the things that we talked about are very poignant. And of course, there's a lot of other things that we didn't mention, and you guys have some of your favorite moments that you want to mention. You can always feel free to comment about them or whatever. And you can always, are we set up to leave voice messages on or any of our pages or anything if people want to verbally comment?
Probably not. We'll have to research. Right? Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. But anyway, you can always feel free just to comment or whatever. We love hearing your feedback. We always want to leave you guys thinking and talking. So, and that's one of the reasons that we do the podcast, is to just try to put some knowledge out there and keep you guys thinking and not forgetting. That's another thing as well. So, Len, do you have anything you want to say before we sign off?
I just hope everyone has a good weekend. Make sure to follow us on all podcast platforms, Apple, iTunes, Podbean, YouTube, Facebook, everything.
All right. And I'm just going to add, we're still in Black History Month. Always, always remember, don't forget. And I want to say thank you for listening. And you guys continue to have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Tune in next week, ladies and gentlemen, for another edition of News and Trends with your hosts, Dave and Lynn.